Good morning. It is good to be back. I was teasing with Brenda that I thought maybe it was something like a Sabbath. 6 months you shall work and one you shall rest. But it's been rough. I don't think I've ever missed 3 Sundays in my life. I asked my mother if I had as a child, and she said no. I do want to thank the elders. I get a little restless, and I was going to veto my wife on last week and come and preach. And I called Terry, and I said, this is my plan. I'm going to preach Sunday morning and teach. And then someone can teach Sunday night. And he said, that's an interesting plan, but here's the elders' plan. He said, you can veto your wife, but you can't veto us. And how true it was. And it really was the wisest thing. And I do appreciate them doing that. And I'm very thankful to those that filled in my absence and did so very well. And very thankful. When you start out in your small congregations, they expect you to be there no matter what. I've known some preachers to die in the pulpit, and I can tell you about why. Because I have, at one place, I preached with 103 fever because I had to be there. And so, very thankful that the men here cared and wanted to make certain that I was over what I was dealing with. Today, we're going to be talking about choosing to be servants. And I think it's very appropriate on Memorial Day weekend that we think about those that have chosen to serve. And especially as we think about those that have chosen to serve our country and given the last full measure of devotion. And ultimately, that's what our lives is about, that we give our last full measure of devotion, that we are faithful till death for our Lord, that He deserves all that we have because He gave all that He had for us. We continue our Two Roads Diverge series. We continue to look at the choice that we must make as we face the different times that we come to the forks of the road in our lives. Too often we look for the path that's easy. And yet paths that are easy are like rivers. They're often not going to get us to where we need. They're crooked. We don't need to go that way. But we need to, in our lives, to look for that path that is least traveled. We need to look for that path that our Lord has trod. We seek to follow His footprints down that path all the way to our heavenly home. If there is ever a fork in the paths of our lives that is difficult, it is that one that calls on me to forsake self and give my all to someone or to something else. That's a tough fork in the road. The broad way of selfishness calls loudly for us to travel its straight and its easy path. Yet our Lord said that such travel would lead us to destruction. I want us to spend a few moments this morning thinking about our Lord and His decision. As we look for His footprints, we look at His decision when presented with this choice of self or others. The first time Christ made this choice, and it may be one that we don't often think about, first time that Christ made this choice was before Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ made a choice. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, as we see Jesus telling the parable of the judgment scene, that there were those that saw Him naked and thirsty and hungry and sick, and they didn't do anything, and there were those that did something. And He says, then the king will say to those on His right, come you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Before God created heavens and earth. Before God said on that first day, let there be light, Jesus Christ had chosen to go to the cross. For God knew that if man was given choice, that man would choose wrong and would need a Savior. That is from before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world according to the book of Revelation. You know, one might think that this was the hardest of choices, the choice between self and others, because think about the choice that Jesus was making here. He is in heaven, where there is no sin, there is no sickness, there is no dying, there is no hunger. He is in close proximity. He is with God the Father and the Holy Spirit and the close relationship that they have and the love that they have. And to think about the choice to leave that and to come to this earth, a place that is filled with sin and sickness and cruelty and sadness, death, betrayal, and pain. Who would want to do that? A loving Savior. Even more, to leave heaven and all of its wonders and all of its glories and all of its greatness to come here, not just to this earth and to live a life, but to come to this earth to die that terrible death, knowing exactly what you were coming for, knowing exactly what you were going to endure, knowing that the very people that you seek to save will nail you to a cross in hatred. When I think of this decision, it makes all my choices between selfishness and service that I have to make when I face the personal forks in my road, it makes them seem stupid. Makes them seem so inconsequential when compared to that decision that Jesus Christ made. How can such things even be considered a choice? The path is so incredibly clear. The footprints are so incredibly deep that we should be able to follow them with ease when we see the choice that our Lord made. The second choice that we see Jesus Christ make to serve was when He was 12 years old. And He made this choice exactly 18 years before He would die in that same city. He would die during another Passover. I'm sorry, 20 years before He would die in that same city. He would die during another Passover feast, which is what He was there for when He was 12 years old. It was His first. At 12 years old, you were allowed to come to the Passover for the first time. A lot of things happened when you were 12 years old as a Jewish boy. You came to the Passover. You began to sit with the men in the synagogue. But the one I want us to focus on this morning is that at 12 years old, you chose what your profession in life would be. Now, I don't know what Jesus did for a living, whether it was, I know He did some carpentry based on what people said in Nazareth about Him. He's a carpenter's son and probably did carpentry, but that's not the profession He chose at the age of 12. When His parents had left Him and came back and found Him in the temple speaking to the Jewish leaders, and they were amazed at the things that He was saying. Mary asked Him, why was He there? And He said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? He chose. He chose a life to serve His Father, to do His Father's business, not His will, but His Father's business. And He would do that with all of His might. His Father's business meant that He would serve. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus Christ said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. He came to serve as God's Lamb without sinful blemish for all mankind. You know, the religious leaders, there's this irony that the religious leaders at 12 years old were amazed at him, and yet 18 years later, those same religious leaders would be filled with hate toward him, and yet his message had not changed. He was no different than he was at 12. Yet they had chosen self over the Father. They had, his Father's business would be totally fulfilled at that last Passover. He made the decision at his first Passover, but at his last Passover, that decision would be fulfilled. When Jesus would say from the cross in front of those same religious leaders, "It is finished. The job is done. I have done my Father's business." The third time is just shortly before those moments. Christ made a choice to serve was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He fell on his face in front of that great fork in the road to drink the cup of pain and suffering that the cross entailed, or to not. Self says don't. Service says do. And Jesus falls on his face and he prays for an hour as he struggles with the influence of self as it tried to gain a foothold in his life and on his decision-making processes. And yet after those three prayers, which he would conclude each of them with the same statement, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Choice made. Because see, that's really what the choice of service is about. It's a choice of not doing what I want, but exercising agape love to do what you want, to give myself wholly to another. That's what Jesus Christ did. He gave himself wholly to the Father, but he also gave himself wholly to each and every one of us in that sacrifice on the cross. Jesus left for us an example to follow of choosing to serve instead of choosing self, and that is so hard. And we see it even in his ministry. Acts chapter 1, and the very first verse says that Jesus both began to do and teach. Jesus never taught anything that he didn't do. I'll admit to you, I've taught things that I failed to do. But not Jesus. He showed everything that he taught. And in his ministry, we even see in the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000, he was teaching the apostles that very principle of service. Because if you look at those feedings, we often think about what the feedings were and the miracles, but we don't pay attention to the fact that he made the disciples serve the people. He made them clean up after the people. He told them often that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 11, he says, "The greatest among you shall be your servant." If you want to be great in the Lord's church, and I've known people that had this desire to be great and to be something in the Lord's church, but the problem is, if you're trying to be great, you're forgetting what you got to be. Greatness is not what you think about me, or what is written about me when after I die. Greatness is in my service, and that God knows, and that He sees, and the reward that He will give. The Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Great is your reward in heaven." That's why you do it. You know, Jesus, on the night before he would die, washed their feet. He served. He even made it clear that the master is not, or the servant's not greater than the master, but yet he washed their feet. He said, "This is what I want you to be." And that's what he wants us to be. People not seeking to be masters. People seeking simply to be servants. Paul spoke of being a willing bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ, and calls us to be that as well. He calls Timothy that and others that as well. People that give themselves to serve. Peter and James tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the right time. We humble ourselves. We seek to simply be what Christ was. A servant. Imagine, if you can, if the church was just filled with people that just wanted to be servants. That's all. Not people seeking to accomplish a self-appointed agenda. Not people seeking to be seen. Not people seeking to be important. Not people seeking to have their own selfish desires met. Not people seeking for God to be the God that they want, but letting Him be the God that He is. Just servants. Just people who are only here to bring honor and glory to God and Jesus Christ. Imagine what the church would be if we had just people who live, not just say it, but they live, not my will, but thy will be done. Imagine what that church would look like. May we make it so. May we make it so by the way we each choose to be a servant as we face those forks in our lives. As we choose to be a servant as our Lord chose to be a servant. That we will say, I did not come here to be served, but to serve. And fulfill the example of Jesus Christ in our lives. May God help us. May God bless us, each one, individually and as a group, to accomplish that endeavor. You know, in the parable of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son realized that he had lost everything and he was in the pig pen and he was looking over there at the slop and he was thinking that might be pretty good, the Bible says he came to himself. He needed to, didn't he? See, because he had chosen the route of selfishness, hadn't he? He had chosen the self route. He had been, at some time in the past, he had been standing at the fork in the road of staying at home or taking all that he had and going off and doing what he wants, his way, his day, now. And he chose himself. In himself, in that path, as Jesus said about the broad way, led him to destruction. Led him to a pig pen. But yet he came to himself. He's faced with another fork in the road, and he can choose himself, which there's not much left there, I guess. He could choose service, and he says, I can go home. Just ask my Father to let me be a servant. This morning, if you've chosen self, you may not be in the pig pen, but I can guarantee you're on the path. And it's down the road. I don't know how far you are from it. You may be at the gate. But I can promise you that's where it's going. Come to yourself now. Say, I can go home. And I just want to ask my Father, let me be a servant. If we can help you with that this morning, if it is to come to the Father that you might become a child of God because you have not obeyed the gospel yet, we want to do that. We want to help you with that. If you need to learn more about what you need to do to obey the gospel, we want to sit down with you and study with you that you might know what you need to do. If you already know and you haven't done it for whatever reason, choose today. Choose God. Choose service. Because any other reason is going to be about you and self. And it's not that. It's only going to lead to destruction. Come believing in Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, raised to walk a life of service. Father, just let me be your servant. If you're a child of God and you've forgotten that you're here not for you, but you're here for Christ. You're here for those that you see around you. You are here to be a servant. Come to yourself. And ask the Father, let me come back. Just let me serve. And He will open His arms. And He will take you in. And it will be like you never left. That's the wonderful thing about our Father. If we can assist you in any way in that this morning, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.